What's going on, everybody? Welcome into All Canadian. Wade Zanketa, Connor O'Neill here. We are back post-draft for the Tuesday show. Man, great draft. Got a lot of stuff to get into. Before we start the show, though, just want to take a second to remind everybody that Sawdust City Brewing Company offers brewery fresh beer delivered directly to your door. Visit their website at sawdustcitybeer.com to shop their wide variety of brews and to learn more. This May, CFP listeners are getting an exclusive promo code. Use code CFP, all caps, CFP, during checkout to receive free shipping on all orders over $100. Obviously, must be legal drinking age. Shipping is available to Ontario residents only. Wade, what do you got cracked tonight?
Ooh, I have the soft body pills. I'm going back to the Birkenstocks. How about you? What do you got?
Love those soft body pills. I have a mojito IPA cracked right now. The best. Love those. Absolutely love those.
A new sponsor, though, for us. Big shout out to the winner of our contest for National Tight End Day. There will be more on National Tight End Day later in this episode. But that is Area 51 Sports Apparel. They are the newest player in the Canadian team sports uniform and equipment industry, locally and minority owned. Area 51 Sports, their goal is to provide high quality uniforms, apparel, and equipment at affordable prices. Area 51 Sports offers uniforms and equipment for all sports at remarkable prices. Check them out on Instagram at Area 51 Sport or reach out to them via email at area51sportsapparel@gmail.com. Got to catch up on some news and notes here, though. Chargers signing Christian Covington from the Bengals, so they're bringing some more Canadian content into SoFi Stadium. Exciting for them to kind of get that in there with Tavon Campbell. So now they have two Canadians on the roster, which means we can bet more Chargers, Connor.
Love betting the Chargers. They're looking damn good. Tack on another Canadian, Josh Palmer, wide receiver from Tennessee. He's going to be catching some bombs this year from Justin Herbert. I like the move for Christian Covington.
When Keenan Allen is not inhaling every single pass.
That dude's a machine. Pass-catching machine.
But another big news. This one was exciting. Ken West. The Regina Rams came out of nowhere with this announcement. I didn't even see it from the official pages. I just saw Regina come out and say, hey, by the way, we're playing in 2021. We have a 6-game regular season schedule followed by a full 4-team postseason. I was shocked. Josiah Joseph kind of went and corrected the Regina Rams on which dino emoji to use. Best not miss when you come at the Kings, as I will say. But I was ecstatic for this. Obviously, Western Canada is kind of getting steamrolled by COVID numbers right now. Calgary and Edmonton, Alberta is kind of looking like they're going backwards as we try to push through this final stretch here in Ontario. But hopefully we can get this 6-game schedule.
So we've had some glimmers of hope for CFL football. Now we get a glimmer of hope for some U Sports football return.
Bring it on.
Man, does this kind of, like to you, does this kind of indicate them sort of paving the way for a return of an OUA season or an AUS yes. season? Or an
yeah, RSS I think season? I think the other three conferences were just kind of waiting to kind of feel out how we come out of this lockdown with our vaccination numbers just before they made a hard commitment to playing. I think the assumption right now and from all coaches on board is we are going to be playing. It's just a matter of how it's going to look and when they want to make that final commitment and say yes, because once they say yes, it looks like it's all hands on deck and ready to go. So if I was running those conferences, I would just kind of delay that for a bit so we can make sure 100% that we can go. But all signs are pointing up and all touchdown passes are going to be scored. I'm excited for this. I know a lot of players are probably biting at the second they get to come back to the field. So here in Ontario, especially, teams haven't really been able to get full padded practices in. I know some guys are just waiting to kick it off.
Dude, I can't wait. I cannot wait. These are like the first little inklings of U Sports football, and I'm so excited.
Absolutely. I just want to be able to get back to a Richardson Stadium, a TD Waterhouse, Ron Joyce down in Hamilton, just kind of have the atmosphere there with some fan capacity, whether it's all spread out like they are at U of T when there's regular season games anyways, or whether they have to put some restrictions in for TD Waterhouse and Ron Joyce. Like, I would be very excited to see that.
Take this in. We've been doing this podcast for like just over a year now. Like, we started around draft time last year, just before draft time last year.
Late March. We've
yet to cover a U Sports football season.
We are yet to cover a football season in Canada, period. We're just waiting. We're waiting for content. We have all these ideas. We've got all these plans. We just need the games to go and implement them. But we will be bringing you that as we get more announcements. We will release our plans and that kind of stuff for our listeners as well. Hopefully some great content, maybe some giveaways with the guys at Area 51 and Sawdust City. But that will be wait and see if we even get football first.
And hopefully we do, because there's some pretty important legislation being talked about in the Senate right now. Single event sports betting. It's getting closer. It's getting closer.
And with that, it's a great way to remind you guys that All Canadian is brought to you in part by Bet99. Whenever you think of gambling in Canada, you should be thinking of Bet99. These guys are Canadian exclusive, Canadian based, Canadian created, and they are here for all your gambling needs. If you head over to Bet99, you can sign up, enter the code CFP on sign up for 100% of your initial deposit, matched up to $600. That, once again, that is CFP at checkout to get 100% of your initial deposit matched up to $600. We are responsible gambling, and every game starts at Bet99.
So you're going to be throwing more bets down on the Jags now that they have the loaded roster of Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, James Robinson, Laviska Shenault, DJ Shark. Oh yes. And Tim Tebow now.
Tebow time. This is not Canadian related at all, but Tebow time is back. This is a slight overreaction, but no. For Tim Tebow, this is a change that should have been made years ago. Before he went to try baseball, before he went to do all the TV stuff, he should have transitioned to tight end. Like, this was something he should have done as soon as the Broncos said, no thanks, we don't want you at quarterback. He tucked the pride aside, and now he's got a legitimate chance to play in the NFL and actually compete. I know, he's so old, he's out of the game. Tim Tebow is an elite athlete with a windmill for an arm. Like, that thing just took years to get going. And it brought on some accuracy issues, causing the throwing to drop off. He doesn't have to throw the ball at tight end. He can use his strength, use his speed that he was so known for at college, catch the ball a bit, clearly can catch. He was able to field baseballs. So it makes sense. I feel like Urban Meyer did him a huge I owe you one from back at the Florida days, bringing him on. But I'm excited to see how it works out.
Similar story that we've heard up here in Canada. Heisman, you know, a Heisman guy goes to the league, transitions to tight end. Hey, guess what? Quarterback wins the head Creighton, goes to the league, is now a wide receiver.
Brad Sinopoli? Is that a similar situation?
One of the most consistent Canadians in the CFL right now?
Mind you, Brad Sinopoli did not take 5 years off, 4 years off of football to make this transition. He kind of said, yeah, sure, I'll do it now and be smart about it. But no, you're right. It's a similar situation. They both know the game. I'm excited to see where this goes. I mean, Tim Tebow is just a great charisma guy and great character guy. So that part can only benefit your locker room. And, you know, with Tebow time, it might take some of the attention off your first overall pick in Trevor Lawrence, because everyone's going to want to be focused on Tim Tebow to see how he does for the first little bit.
Honestly, I mean, if this is strictly to divert attention away from Trevor Lawrence, genius move by Urban Meyer. That is PR 101.
I don't know if it would be genius to bring in a guy this late in his career, but
to divert away attention from your rookie quarterback, though, draws the media off his back.
It could turn, though. If Trevor Lawrence struggles, do people skip over Gardner Minshew and go, Tebow? time.
Throw Tebow in a queue.
Please
let
don't.
Let Timmy throw.
He's got to wear 15, though, right?
He has to. He's like, allowed to now.
Does Gardner Minshew just have to, like, give it up? Or
yes.
Mullet versus the golden child.
Gardner Minshew is firmly no longer the starting quarterback in Duval anymore. Trevor Lawrence gets 16. Minshew has to concede his number to Tim Tebow. And he can wear 5 or something. I really don't care if he can be Blake Bortles for all I care.
Yeah, no, I agree. Minshew, see you later. Like the mullet, though, but it's time to give the number up to Tebow time. On that note, we have one more piece of news. Province of British Columbia yet to approve the CFL's return to play proposal. I honestly think this is them just waiting to make sure everything's all right before they do approve it. Because if they say yes and then things decline, they're kind of like, oh, well, you told us we can, so looks like we're going. I think they're just taking their time and being responsible with it, which, you know, it's all for the safety of the population. And if the return to play proposal does have all those assets built into it, they shouldn't have an issue approving it when it's time.
I think this is just kind of BC going, whoa, whoa, hey, hey, pump the brakes here. Like, cases are going up a little bit. We're not saying yes right now. We're going to wait and play this out, see where it goes. But, you know, they haven't said no either. They didn't come out and say no. They just said, like, whoa, hold up. So I'm not too – in the grand scheme of things, I think this is a precautionary thing, and I'm not too worried about it.
Agree. And as we look to the U.S., where we have seen some Canadians playing football – the Cornish Trophy was the finalists were announced last week. So the Cornish Trophy is given out yearly by Football Canada to the top Canadian playing in an NCAA school. This year it ranges as well. It does cover off the guys in D2, D1, AA, but this year we've got a stacked up roster. We've got Josh Palmer from Tennessee, who was just drafted by the Chargers. John Metchie III, the receiver from Alabama, who's also a Brampton guy, I believe. Alaric Jackson, the offensive lineman from Iowa. Eamon Ogbong-Bamiga from Calgary, who played down at Oklahoma State. Chuba Hubbard from Alberta as well, going down to OK State, so the two Cowboy teammates. And then Alonzo Adai, the safety from Pickering, who is down in West Virginia. Pretty good roster this year. I'm very happy to see these guys all get the mentions that they deserve.
Yeah, good collection of talent this year. A lot of guys at a lot of different positions. I think we both love the same guy on this list, but we kind of forced each other to take two different guys each, so I won't mention them yet. But yeah, I mean, overall, I agree with the list. Maybe there's one guy I won't get into this, but maybe there's one guy that I'm not as high on as the rest of them. But I like the list overall.
Yeah, overall. And who is your guy?
My guy, I didn't want to take your guy. We're both going to have the same guy. My guy, though, and, you know, you killed me before we came on the show, but John Metchie III, wide receiver out of Alabama, 55 receptions, 916 yards, 6 touchdowns. He's a national champion. He contributed on a national championship team as well. Yes, he was probably the third wide receiver down, but with Jalen Waddle out and, you know, Devonta Smith still eating yards and receptions, he was also eating coverages as well. This left John Metchie open a lot of the time. And with what he was given, he made the most of his opportunities. Almost 1,000 yards on the season. So I like John Metchie here, if it's not going to be this next guy. So I'll let you take this one away.
No, I'm going to start by talking about the other receiver that's mentioned here, and that's Josh Palmer, because I feel bad for Josh Palmer in this list, because he's clearly amongst one of the top talented guys that we saw from Canada down there in the States. But with Josh Garantano throwing him the ball, he had so many balls that were deemed uncatchable that there was just no chance he could compete with top end numbers. So I do feel bad for Josh Palmer in that sense. I don't think he's going to win it. I have Chuba Hubbard with the injuries and the play of LD Brown, the other guys that jumped in after him. I don't think Chuba's going to take it home for the second straight year. Alaric and Eamon, both guys are all conference teams at some level, but I just feel like this top guy just made such a difference for his defense. That's Alonzo Adai, the DB from West Virginia. We're talking second team, all Big 12. Same as Eamon Ogbong-Bumiga, but Alonzo was first year up from New Hampshire. So for him to make the jump that he did and then go 66 tackles, 2 interceptions, 7 pass breakups, that's a lot for a safety. You're talking about a lot of range, going sideline to sideline, West Virginia system, making big plays. I think Alonzo's got a huge chance to take this home this year, just because of the impact he carried on his roster.
I agree. 100% agree. Love Alonzo Adai. He was one of our, if you listen to any of the draft coverage we did and are going to do, we have a lot of post-draft stuff to do, but he is one of our favorite, not only DBs, but he was one of our favorite players in this year's class. So I really like the pick for Alonzo Adai here. I think it's going to come down to Alonzo Adai and John Metchie III. But I think, you know, the way this thing goes and the way that voters might value a national championship, I think we see John Metchie walk away with it.
I don't want to see John Metchie walk away with it. He's got another year to win it. Think about it. Next year, he is that guy for Alabama. I would really like to see John Metchie lose it this year, because I think next year he's going to be a runaway winner and it's not even going to be close. This year, I just feel like there's so many other guys that you could give it to. Whereas next year, it's going to be scary, the number he puts up with Bryce Young in that offense.
What if it goes inverse and John Metchie wins it and Alonzo Adai comes out and has just a gross season next year? Because he's coming back for another year.
Yeah, but Alonzo's got a tough task. I think it's going to be a tougher task for Alonzo next year, because he's going to have Spencer Rattler after he's got a full season. He's not a true freshman anymore. He's going to be lighting people up from Oklahoma. We're talking Spencer Sanders is back for OK State, so he's going to be lighting it up. I think Brock Purdy's coming back for Iowa State. He'll be tough competition as well. So there's lots of quarterbacking in the Big 12 that's kind of growing and coming back. That's going to make it tougher for Alonzo Adai to make those splash plays. But with John Metchie, like, Jalen Waddle is gone. Devontae Smith is gone. Najee Harris is gone. And here comes Bryce Young, who has been working on the second team all last year. One of the top quarterbacks coming out last year from Mater Dei out in Cali. And he's been practicing with John Metchie as his main guy on the second team for a year. So I think the chemistry we're going to see from these two guys is going to be unreal. People are going to know the name John Metchie III by the time Heisman season comes around next year, and definitely by the time the CFB playoffs come around.
As much as we could sit here and talk college football all day, we will find out who wins that John Cornish Award on May 24th. So we will have an update on that after the award is given out. I guess we'll see who it is, but let's get into some draft stuff. It's post-draft. Draft season is over. We can finally start looking at who went where and evaluating how these guys are going to impact some rosters. So, dude, draft, opening impression.
Well, I was just going to say, we can start this off now by saying it's time for the way too early mock draft for the 2022 CFL draft. I'm openly going to be taking one of the Philpotts in the first round at some point next year. But other than that, no, draft night last week, I think my opening impressions were like roller coaster. If there's one way I can sum it up, it's a roller coaster, because we started off with the Ticats where they kind of confused me. And then we had teams like the Red Blacks who crushed it. And then all of a sudden the Red Blacks turned around. And you're like, what are you doing? How does this work? And then there's BC's just kind of like riding the waves of every other team, just hitting each of the peaks and on each draft round, like where they're just crushing it. But it was really a roller coaster, because some teams were just up and down and other teams were just all highs and other teams were all lows. So it's like, you're just all over the place.
And then you have a team like Winnipeg who, like, you forgot even drafted. Then you go back and look at their draft and you're like, oh good. Shit. The best team in the league just had like one of the best drafts in the league.
Yeah. Like, honestly, it's so tough to look at these teams. Like Hamilton, I was like, oh wow. Like, this is a team that was just in the Grey Cup. And then they have a great three to the field and Nikola Kalinic, who can bump down and be a fullback slash tight end. And they double and then triple down in the draft by going Jake Burt, a tight end, and then getting Felix from Laval, another fullback. I'm like, okay, how does this work with your offense? Like, are you going to have Jeremiah Masoli all of a sudden bump in and play with 13 personnel where you're just going to leave like two guys outside the formation running free? Like, you're not going to enclose your offense with Jeremiah Masoli, are you? Like, that's just an insane thought.
So, I mean, you hit it right there. Jake Burt goes one. We're all like, what's going on here? I think at that moment we knew like, uh-oh, we're going to be in for one this year. But other than Jake Burt, what was your biggest surprise in the draft?
My biggest surprise, I guess, would be the drop of the receivers. I know we had Tommy Neal, Luther Kunivanu, we had Terrell Janna go as well, but like they didn't start going. Terrell Janna only went 17, so we're talking end of round two right there. And like, to me, out of six rounds, we're only getting three guys drafted. Like, that's an all-time low. I was kind of shocked with that, especially with last year when we had Dejon going two. Tyler Tanowski was a pretty high pick, so I was definitely shocked to see the low value on receivers this year.
Yeah, and even guys like, you know, Claude Mullally and Will Corby, they didn't even get drafted. Guys that we were really high on, you know, coming into the draft process. So, yeah, the value in wide receivers was odd. And I would also say, too, Ben Hladik falling. We didn't see that happening. Like, this guy came out, he was on the, you know, the initial CFL top 20 list, and then goes out and absolutely hammers his pro day, has a great combine, puts up great numbers, has size and speed all over the board, and he falls. Like, props to BC for sitting pat and waiting, and then they were able to pick him up at 22. But this is a guy that we had going high in the first round, potentially after the numbers that he put up. And not only the pro day numbers, but you go back and watch his tape, and it's not like one of those things where it's like, okay, he's got mediocre tape and then he blew the pro day out of the water. It was one of these things where he's got great tape and then he went out and put great numbers up. So it was just surprising to me that he kind of slid a little bit.
Absolutely. And I think for BC, it got to the point at 22 where they kind of said, okay, there's no way he can slide past us here. Like, there's nobody on the board that's anywhere close to him. Let's pick him up. And I don't know if it was just kind of like a flavor of the month thing, because we did see other linebackers going in the draft. Just each guy had their own preferences as they drafted linebackers. But with Ben Hladik, like you said, definitely a shock to us. And we said it on the live stream, like, oh, is this next pick Ben? Is this going to be Ben? Is this going to be him? Like, we kept going down the list for seemed like 20 picks.
It was a while. It was a while before we got to him. Thankfully, we did. Much to, like, a guy that definitely deserves to be in the CFL. Wild draft. Just a wild draft.
Did we see many teams, though? Like, we had talked for months about how much the Argos needed to address defensive back, and they come out and double down in the trenches. Like, did we so obviously we didn't see them hitting their team needs. And when we talked to Ben Grant, he was kind of confused as well. But did we see other teams hit what they needed to hit in the draft?
For the most part, I think so. You know, like BC, they needed to go out and get some offensive line help. They go out and get Tyler Packer and Alaric Jackson. So I think they did that there. They also got some pass rush help in Daniel Joseph. Calgary addressed the linebacker position with Eamon Ogbong-Wamiga. Obviously, that's a little bit of a gamble, but then you lock that up and firm that up with guys like Charlie Moore and Elliot Graham. Hamilton was a bit of an oddity. I think they were – when you look at the players they drafted, they had a good draft, but was it necessarily fitting position needs? I mean, that remains to be seen, I guess. Loved Edmonton's draft. Montreal, they went out and got their bigs up front to protect Vernon Adams. I would have liked to see a little bit more back-end help. They only went with one defensive guy in Ethan McConzo, but then they went out and signed a guy like Keen Harlemana. That's only going to help. Ottawa, we will get to them. Saskatchewan, I think they did a good job. I mean, again, they go out and get DBs, wide receivers, playmakers all over the map. And then Winnipeg, as we said, quietly, ever so quietly, potentially had one of the best drafts of 2021.
Absolutely. Bring on Reddick Cramdy and the Blue Bombers, blue and gold. But no, I agree with you on that. Pretty much sums it all up for that. Which team kind of impressed us the most, though? Like you mentioned Winnipeg. Outside of them, did you see anyone kind of impress us with a pick, whether it was jumping up and getting their guy, or we just kind of saw how their nights went?
So it was a little bit of a risk, but I loved the pick in general, especially, you know, if you know he's your guy, whether you're drafting at 2, 5, 6, 7, if he's your guy, he's your guy, take him. And that's what Saskatchewan did. They went out, took Nelson Lacombo at 2 overall. He's a 5'11", 195. He's a 5'11", 190-pound DB. You might be thinking, that's a little bit undersized. But he plays a lot bigger than he is. When you watch his tape, he's either making the play on the ball and taking it the other way, sticking a hand in there and knocking the ball out, or he's at least in coverage and there to make the tackle should a wide receiver come down with the ball, which is rare. And he's just got speed. Couple housed interceptions on the season. He was the U Sports Defensive Player of the Year for a reason. So I like that pick from Saskatchewan. I think they wanted Lacombo all along. And the fact that they got to pick 2 overall just firmed that up for him.
Do you think we would have seen Lacombo go in the top 5 if Saskatchewan hadn't grabbed him? Or do you think that he would have been a late first round guy?
I think he still would have gone 5. I think Lacombo is just, you know, too good a playmaker. The upside is there. And, you know, he's got some CFL bloodline too. So, you know, you're getting an absolute dog. He's a hard worker. You know, when we talked to Flory, how big of an impact wherever you want. I mean, like, he won Defensive Player of the Year as a halfback, but I think it'd be a pretty seamless transition for him to go play safety.
I agree on that. I think he's a jack of all trades when it comes to where he can play. It's just where teams are going to want him to play. That's the question that remains to be seen. My pick, though, I really want to stick with Saskatchewan here, but it's going to be the opposite side of the ball. I'm going Bruno Labelle, the tight end. They picked him up in round 3, pick 20. But this is the kind of guy. He's down at Arizona right now with the Cardinals, and that may just be a camp body to work in some extra blocking. Both Labelle, you get a freaky athlete at a tight end spot where you can slot him out as your number 3. You can give Clara some protection if you need to, because he is a willing blocker. But then you can also turn around, slide him across, get him out into the route tree, work some concepts with him, get him over the middle, and really use his frame and his jumping abilities to dent teams where they have less size, where you kind of get that corner route going against, maybe you're going against a Nelson Lacombo on the far outside, where all of a sudden you can throw at them this huge 6'4", 250-pound body who's just going to go up at 40 inches and haul one in. Maybe you're just working him into the flat and then letting him rumble downfield on some DBs as well. I think it's a kind of protection move for Caleros. You're going to give him a easy outlet target as well as take some short targets away from guys like Shaq Evans who are going to be working and carving up defense this year.
Do you think Saskatchewan kind of saw the way Hamilton uses Nikola Kalinic and was like, hey, we want one of those. We think that could really benefit our offense. We saw it work for Hamilton. They went to the Grey Cup. We're trying to make a push. Let's go out and get a similar type guy. I'm not saying Bruno Labelle is going to be Nikola Kalinic, because Nikola Kalinic is a freak, but Bruno Labelle is still a big body. He moves well at that size too. So do you think there's kind of some inspiration there?
I think the inspiration is more seeing how teams use it, like how the Red Blacks use Sinopoli. You look at this big body who really stresses rules and values and morals in a defense where you're trying to play your rules, you're trying to go through all your reads, and all of a sudden you have this huge matchup problem because this guy's a threat to go across the box. He can either steamroll you and slice you, or he can fake that leak out and you maybe do a dump off to the flat and he can take it 15, 20 yards. Like, that's such an important aspect to an offense that you just can't stress the easy completions, high percentage that all of a sudden LaBelle can take for yardage. I just think the versatility, because of his athletic ability, there's a good tongue twister for you. That's just so tempting for teams to try and incorporate into their offenses. And for Saskatchewan, they just couldn't pass it up.
So these are some of our favorite picks, but who is your favorite draft?
BC. It's going to be the BC Lions. You're going to talk about Daniel Joseph. You're going to talk about Alaric Jackson, Ben Hladek. Then they go Alfred Green from Laurier, Tyler Packer to close it out. You hit on all your needs. Maybe you have some futures in there, but you're going to get some guys at positions that you need to fill, and you took multiple swings in case those guys don't work out in some cases. So for that, you have to grade them highly and say, like, yeah, you did fantastic in picking the guys you need. And if these all turn into CFL players, then you're going to be looking at a very good draft from BC down the road. If their futures stay away, I think you can still have a good core from this group.
Yeah. Have to love BC's draft. You know, I think there's a ton of guys that they can develop for the future there. I'm going to take mine a little bit down the road, and I swear this isn't because I haven't said it on air yet today, but it is the Edmonton Elk. Man, did they ever have a good draft. Some super sneaky underrated players in that draft. They come out right off the top with Cole Nelson. Then they get Grant McDonald. Deontay Glover, quietly one of the best running backs in this draft class. Dominic Johnson, who's going to be an interesting guy. Peter Cordis, the big lineman, and Keenan Clark. So, I mean, we're not going to get too into this because we're going to be breaking it down further. But, yeah, Edmonton's my pick for I think, my favorite draft this year.
I'm going to let you take the worst as well because I know you're passionate about this one.
Oh, I hated this one. Like, I was just, like, I was almost grossed out on air almost. Like, I looked disgusted when Ottawa got past the third round of this draft.
Are we the official Lewis Ward fan club at this point? Like, we are going to stand up and protect this man?
Yes, us and CFL Reddit. Love this guy. Money Lou. Yeah, no, Ottawa has to be, like, we're going to get into this further, but Ottawa was by far the, I don't even want to say they're the worst draft. I think they just had the worst back half.
Yeah, because when you look at it, the front end of their draft, they're going Deshaun Stevens, they're going Alonzo Adai, Connor Bergloff, all three guys that were like, yes, absolutely, fantastic job, Ottawa. And all of a sudden they go, well, yeah, let's take a kicker. Let's go and take a long snapper that's a futures pick. And then, you know, last round, we might as well throw in an offensive lineman. Who knows? Who knows where it's going to go? It's like, what? Did you guys just quit and hit auto draft and just see what happens here? Like, you just left the fantasy draft and said, yep, auto select. We're going home for the night. We're going to go have a beer.
This is like literally when the controller lags out.
Yeah.
Like
internet must have crashed when they're submitting the picks. That's why it didn't come through. That's why it went through as a kicker in round four.
We'll get into this a little bit further.
No, we're getting into it right now.
Right now. Okay.
Because we are doing the Eastern Conference tonight. We are going to be going through this for you guys. We're going to stick right with Ottawa. We're going to go worst to best in our eyes based on the grades here. Ottawa Red Blacks, you're getting a C+. And this is strictly because of how bad the back end is. The front end, I would give you an A on the spot. But then you turned around and you went kicker. You went a futures pick on a long snapper. Like, if you're going to take a futures pick at this point, why not turn around and go Josh Palmer? Why not turn around and go Ben St. Juice? But you want a futures pick. Let's go with a long snapper. Are you kidding me?
In what world?
And don't get us wrong. We love special teamers. We're sitting here pissed off because they already have good special teams. The special teams on Ottawa was one of their actual bright spots in the 2019 season. Because
Money Lou and Richie Leone, two of the best kicker punters in the league.
Yeah, like, you're talking about Lewis Ward, who has a Guinness Book of World Records for consecutive field goals made. Richie Leone, very good punter pinning inside the 20. You did not concede many rouges because of how accurate he was. So you're looking at that. Also, you're going to let Richie Leone handle your kickoffs. You guys had great kickoff coverage last time we saw you out. And you're going to turn around and draft a replacement for one of these guys? Even if you wanted a camp leg, sign someone after the draft. There's tons of guys. There's even a guy like Mike DeMagla, who kicked in your backyard, who is more than serviceable on a CFL roster. If you needed a camp leg that bad, you could have signed him and brought him in.
The only possible explanation I can have or think of for this Jake Julian pick, and again, no offense to Jake Julian, congratulations, you're a CFL draft pick, but are they just preparing for Money Lou to get an NFL contract at some point?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so, in all honesty. I know Lewis is really accurate, but I don't think his range eclipses what the NFL needs, especially in this day and age. So I think with the NFL, Lewis would be interesting to see go. I would be very excited for that. But I think on Ottawa, they're just kind of firing darts at the dartboard here and hoping that something landed on any player.
And that's why you get a C+. I mean, if it was the first three rounds of this draft alone, Sean Stevens, Alonzo Adai, Connor Berglot, that's an A. That's an A right there. Those were three guys that we had highly valued. And then the wheels just kind of fell off the bus. So I don't know. I'm tired of talking about Ottawa. The back half sucked. Who's next?
All right, next.
Who's next on this chopping block?
Ticats, they're getting the wrath of fury here. We're going Ticats on this one because of the double down at tight end and fullback. I was just super confused by this. I think much like Ottawa, you had some very good picks in here. We're talking Dean Leonard. We're talking Mohamed Diallo. But the Jake Burt pick, if you're going to flex him out, that's great. But I think Nikola Kalinic can do anything that this guy can, and you already have him on your roster. Then you get Jarek Richards, a good special teams linebacker from St. Mary's. Then you go back with Felix Garangochier, a fullback, which kind of confused me. And then you went and got Miles Manilow. So it's like the roller coaster that I was talking about at the start, like kind of confusing. Great pick. All right pick, why, and then good pick again in Miles Manilow. So you truly get a full range. I'm going to change this. I'm going to go flat. I'm going to go with – oh, sorry, it was a B- for this one. So I'm going to bump it to a B. We're just going to go straight average at a B here. Because, the picks I liked, I really did like. But the picks that were so confusing, I just don't understand the thought process behind this. Triple and double down at a position that cuts off one of your offense's best aspects, which is Jeremiah Masoli spreading it out five wide, four wide with the running back and just kind of picking your poison, airing it out across the field. That kind of hems that in if you're going tight ends and fullbacks. So I just don't know what you're really trying to do and projecting to do on your offense with these.
I like the grade of a B here. Because when you go down the list, you're like, okay, that's a really good player. That's a really good player, really good player. I mean, it's a bunch of high-level talent that they drafted, but it wasn't necessarily a high-level talent that they needed. I mean, I get the play in Jake Burt because you're going to bring him in and he's going to play right away. Jake Burt is going to be a day one player for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. So I get the value in that. And that's like traditionally the CFL draft. Is kind of a futures draft or a special teams draft at first, but Jake Burt's going to come in and he's going to be on a roster and he's going to be one of the six or seven dressed wide receivers for the Ticats right away. But the draft is about adding value or finding guys in positions of need as well. And they didn't necessarily do that. I mean, Mohamed Diallo, yes, they got a defensive lineman here, a true nose tackle. True,
they needed that, though, because their D-line's getting older. They needed Mohamed Diallo. They needed Dean Leonard at corner whenever he gets here.
But then you draft a guy like Nick Cross, who's a damn good linebacker, don't get me wrong, led the nation in tackles. But you want to make him a safety, and you have Tunde Adeleke playing very well back there right now.
Yeah, Tunde Adeleke is no slouch. Like, to me – I saw the Nick Cross. I'm like, holy, like, That's a great player. And, you know, at some point, you can't reach for need. You need to take best player on the board. And if that's what you're doing with Nick Cross, then great. That's what you're doing. But for the rest of the draft, like, we're just hitting peaks and valleys. And to me, that's why it balances out right at a B.
And one of their best picks, in my opinion, was the last pick of the draft, Miles Manilow.
Yeah, that's a guy that we thought would go a bit sooner, but I'm glad he got drafted and got put on a roster at the end of the day.
So I believe that brings up the Montreal Alouettes next. Short on draft picks. They only had 5 selections this year, but I think they made the most of at least 4.
Yeah, and you know, here's what I'm saying with Montreal. We're giving them a B+ because they help the offensive line, Pierre-Olivier Lestage, Chris Fournier, Patrick Davis. You get a young core that if they all come up to the CFL will grow together, build inside out. But then you go David Côté, kicker, Ethan McConzo from Montreal, linebacker, DB hybrid guy. I'm giving them a B+ because they hit needs on the O-line, but they also stuck true to their philosophy. And Montreal's philosophy has been, give us the best damn player on the board that's from a Quebec school. Bring French-speaking players, bring guys that are from Quebec home to our province, to La Belle Province. And to me, the gravitas to kind of sit there and go, yeah, I'm going to draft these guys because these are this is what we believe in and this is how we believe in building our team.
That's Petrosian's philosophy. He's told it to us from day one, and he has not shied away from it. He's hammered down on it, doubled down on it, and then he goes out and signs All-Canadian linebacker Keen Harlemana, who didn't get drafted, but he was an All-Canadian out of Laval. So guess what? He's a Machocha guy too. I like the Montreal draft strategy. They're getting proven players and players that Machocha has been around for years now. These are not picks on a whim. These are picks that have been evaluated for 4, 5, 6 years. These are guys that he has seen since their rookie season in U Sports. He has been with these guys, seen them develop, and props to him for just staying true to his philosophy, not shying away from it. And I think it's going to convert.
I do too. I really think that the mid-round picks, Chris Fournier, Pat Davis, those are kind of guys that you can get into your program and start developing them to be some interior size for you. I mean, Pat Davis is a center who's 6'5". You don't see that very often from guys playing in the middle. So if you can develop him, obviously round 4, you're maybe looking at a year or two of just kind of depth work, filling in. But if he can step in, I really like this draft for them because they're going to be protecting Vernon Adams for the next couple of years.
I know they didn't have a lot to work with here. They had 5 picks this year. I really would have liked them to address more defensive help. I understand that you got that last year with Cam Lawson and Marc-Antoine Dacroix, and you did go get Ethan McConzo, and you signed Keen Harlemana, but Montreal was one of the worst, if not the worst, defenses in the league in 2019. They had the fewest sacks, some of the fewest interceptions. They were getting hung up on every single game. And the receivers in the East are only getting better with the exception of Ottawa. So there's a collection of talent that you have to defend if you're Montreal. And I just would have liked to see them address that a little bit more, but I understand that it's really hard to do that with only 5 picks. What they were able to do with those 5 picks was still very good. So B+ for me, I like that.
I mean, unless you're the Ticats and you're looking to box it in and just go with a goal line package for half the game, then, you know, you don't really need DBs if you're Montreal. But last but not least, Toronto Argonauts, A-, you know. Well done, pinballing the boys out in double blue. I really think they could have hit on DBs, but when you're looking at it, like when they're drafting, there's DBs that go behind them, but not for a little bit. Like you're kind of getting the best guy that you could have got without reaching for a defensive back. So they start off Peter Nicastro, Sage Dockstader, double down on the offensive line, pick up guys to build inside out, finish off your off Canadian offensive linemen and protect your guys, especially like Nick Arbuckle, who you have just bought and brought in to lead your team for the next future. Then you go Luigi Valiant, future defensive lineman. We'll see how he does this year after transferring to Wake. Then you go Tommy Neal, who's a big physical bodied receiver who I kind of like comparing to Levi Noel, even though the athleticism is nowhere close to Levi. The build is kind of the same. The work ethic is going to be there. Then you get Trevor Hoyt, who's a good linebacker, play specials. Finally go to Josh Haggerty, and then you get a future in Ben St. Juice, but that's just we own the rights if something happens.
Yeah, hats off to Toronto for this draft. You talk about building a young core of offensive linemen. How about Peter Nicastro, Sage Dockstader, and Theron Churchill from last year's draft?
And then you're going to throw in Shane Richards from a couple years ago as well. That's a lot of high draft capital spent on the offensive line. They're clearly trying to go five wide nationals there, leaving a lot of room for the big splashy signings at defensive line and wide receivers. So for the Argos, like that's how you want to build your team. You need to commit those high round value picks to that spot. They're doing that now, and I think it's going to pay out for them in the long run.
Definitely. There's no doubt about it. When we were doing the draft eval on Toronto, one of the things that we wanted to see them address, because we were sitting there looking at it going, damn, they've positioned they can and more this offseason. But one thing they didn't address was DB. We thought that they were going to be one of these teams to be in play for Nelson Lacombo. I think pretty much all draft season, we had Nelson Lacombo penned to the Toronto Argonauts.
He did not fall there.
We wanted to see Toronto kind of go and get a DB because we were just looking at needs and going, damn, this is really kind of the only thing that they need left. And again, hats off to them for sitting, waiting, staying patient. And they get a hell of a DB in the sixth round at pick 46 in Josh Haggerty, the 6'3", 200 pounder from, again, Scott Flory's program out in Saskatchewan. And we heard him not only talk about the importance of Nelson Lacombo, but then the aggressive nature and playmaking ability from Josh Haggerty standing at 6'3" in that safety spot. I'm not saying he is a Marc-Antoine Dacroix, but he's damn reminiscent, especially with that hair.
Oh, don't bring the hair into the question. What if he shaved it? What if he shaved it? Would you be out? What if Marc-Antoine Dacroix showed up at camp just like straight buzz?
No, I'm getting a Marc-Antoine Dacroix Alouettes jersey.
It's
settled. Yes.
Okay. Book it in. But no, I think with the Argos, we're going to see the A-minus grade. It's a very strong draft because you're protecting your main asset. I mean, you spent all this money on wide receivers. If you don't have an offensive line to block for Nick Arbuckle, you're not going to be getting the ball very far downfield. So kudos to them. And I guess with that, that closes out our draft recap of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, it also closes out our show for the day. But before we go, just want to take a second here to remind everybody, the Canadian Football Perspective Podcast Network is brought to you by our friends at Fox 40, the worldwide leaders in whistle technology. For 15% off all your return to play whistle needs, visit fox40shop.com and enter the code CFP15, CFP15, all capitals, no spaces, at fox40shop.com at checkout for 15% off.
And as always, we are brought to you over here at Canadian Football Perspective by Sawdust City Brewing Company, who offers brewery fresh beer delivered directly to your door. Visit their website at sawdustcitybeer.com to shop their wide variety of brews and to learn more. This May, CFP listeners have gotten our promo code extended for the month, where they can use CFP during checkout to receive free shipping on all orders over $100. Shipping is available to Ontario residents only, must be of legal drinking age.
That's it. That's today's All Canadian. Go back and check out Marsh and Mello on Friday. They did a full draft breakdown as well. Marsh had number one overall pick, Jake Burt on the A block yesterday. So that was a lot of fun. Go back, check that one out. Jake Burt is really excited to be a Hamilton Tiger Cat. Coming up on Wednesday, we've got Marsh and DT with some more draft breakdown. We got post-draft all week. Such an exciting time. That does it for us, though.
Absolutely. You know where to find us, at Wade Zank, at Connor R. O'Neill, at CF Perspective. See ya on Thursday morning.
With the Western teams. We're going to be ripping those guys, too. Don't you worry.